Hi, welcome to Gem City Diversity, a podcast where we talk about diversity and inclusion in the Miami Valley. In this episode, Lake talks with Jacob Sams about Dayton Pride, the Ruby Girls, and their advice for those in the LGBTQ+ community. Enjoy!
To start out today, we're recording this episode just a couple of days after Pride, and so I guess I want to start with, were you at Pride first? Yeah. And if so, what was your experience this year at Pride?
So every year on Friday nights, the Ruby Girls do like the Pride kickoff at the square. And so we perform there in the evening. And then I walked in the parade with, I work at Square One Salon and Spa downtown.
Awesome.
So we walked together. It was a great time. I feel like it was one of the biggest turnouts as far as people. There were a lot of vendors there this year. I feel like Dayton Pride's grown a little bit every year.
Sure.
The parade was a little larger than normal. Like, it was a really good time.
That's awesome.
Very hot, though.
It was a hot day. We had the setup, at least in our tent, we had a battery with a fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fan can help a lot. But yeah, it was definitely a hot year this year. But you're right, it did not seem to turn people away.
We were very thankful that it was breezy on Friday.
I'm sure that would be the case. And so you perform where on Friday night?
The Courthouse Square.
Okay.
Where all the main festival stuff happens.
And so how many years have you been doing this?
I've been with the Ruby Girls for, I think, 7 years now, but I've been doing drag in the Dayton area for about 15.
Okay, wow. So let's back up then. So tell me, what is the Ruby Girls?
So the Ruby Girls were a nonprofit organization that's been Dayton-based for 30 years, and we started 30 years ago with a mission to see an end to AIDS and HIV, and over that 30 years, we've expanded because a lot more folks need help now, and just kind of like we're working our little tails off to make sure everyone can live the best possible life that they can.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think that's really important as we talk about the Ruby Girls, that this is not just a group that goes out and does performances,
correct,
right? There's a purpose behind it. So for you as someone who is a Ruby Girl, who's part of this group, why is it important to you to be part of a group that has that mission?
For me, I started in a place of just always loving drag as an art form. And I think to take that something as simple as me waking up one day and putting on a thrift store dress and a fake eyelash and taking that to a stage where I can raise thousands of dollars to help people live better lives, get healthcare, have things like housing, all kinds of stuff that we do, is a really powerful tool. And for me, also, I feel like with a lot of fundraising, a lot of times we lose the fun of it. You know, I've been to lots of fundraisers where you get that like little salad and a little piece of dried chicken and you hear like 10 speeches.
Yep.
But like this, you kind of lose yourself in the whole moment. And I think when you have that fun element and you're having such a great time, people are a lot more generous.
That's awesome. Yeah. So the Ruby Girls, I guess, are able to take what in many times is that dry, boring fundraiser and turn it into something that the community flocks to see, right?
Correct.
That's awesome. And so you said you've been with the Ruby Girls for 7 years?
Yes.
Okay, and so what happened? How did you get to the Ruby Girls?
I got to the Ruby Girls kind of like backdoored my way in. I had a friend, Taj Mahal, she was already in the Ruby Girls, and I just kind of kept asking if I could join in for a show. I did, my first show with them was A Show Must Go On, which we do every year in November after Thanksgiving. And I just never stopped showing up to things after that.
Forced your way in a little,
yes.
Huh? Can we back up? Because I think for a lot of our listeners, I think they are going to understand the importance of drag and what drag is, as you said, is an art form. But for those who maybe drag is newer to them, or for some people who maybe drag, we know, is a little uncomfortable for some people, can you talk about why drag is important? What you have your experience as drag being an art form?
For me, I think drag is a extreme self-expression. And you get to take that expression of self onto a stage and put it on display for a bunch of people. I think over the years it has expanded into many different forms and ways to do it. I just think giving people a place to broadcast themselves that way and creatively is a really cool thing, especially when you're talking about the majority of people and it's accessible to everybody. Whereas like getting on something like a television show or being a celebrity or whatever is only available to a select few, whereas drag is anyone can get up on stage and have that moment of like, they're, I'm Britney Spears today, you know?
That's cool. So drag is kind of that ability for you to be whoever you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you talk more about accessibility? So you said one of the pieces that you like about drag is that it's accessible. Can you talk more about how drag as an art form is accessible?
I think that accessibility has grown over the years. I mean, I feel like in Dayton especially, there was a lot of opportunity for like open stages and things like that, much like a coffee show or a coffee shop where you can go and have open mic night or whatever.
Sure.
Where anybody can produce whatever they like and throw it on stage. I think that accessibility has expanded over the years. I mean, because 15 years ago when I started, a lot of shows were just white gay men in dresses. And then over the time, I think a lot more inclusion has happened. I think it's been a really awesome thing to expand all kinds of people from all different backgrounds.
Okay, cool. So drag has also diversified. As our
Absolutely.
Understanding of the world has diversified, drag has diversified. And it sounds like you said you've been doing drag for quite some time, even
yeah.
before the Ruby Girls,
yeah.
right? So you've gotten to see firsthand
yeah.
this, I don't know, what would you call reinvention, perhaps, of
yeah.
what the drag world
like
looks like.
A redefining of what being a drag queen can mean to people instead of that like typical, like, I'm going to go from being male and looking as much like a female as possible. It can be all kinds of things. It can be like a over-exaggerated character. It can be some kind of blend of the two genders. It can be literally whatever you want to make it, which I think is really neat.
That's awesome. And so I guess as you hear, and this is not where I expected this conversation to go, but that's okay.
Yeah.
As you hear people talking about drag in the world, it occurs to me that there's probably a huge amount of misconceptions
mm-hmm.
about what drag is. And what drag means, and the harm, the quote unquote, you can't see me if you're listening to this, but the quote unquote, you know, harm that people see. What would you say as you hear those misconceptions or you hear this false kind of notion that drag is harmful or X, Y, or Z?
I mean, I would say drag is just as much or less harmful as any other kind of stage production. Like if you take your family to go to a musical or if you take your family to even like a play at your church, it's, to me, it's the same level of people presenting something on a stage that they want the world to see. I mean, you hear a lot about different things. You hear that drag queens are groomers and doing all these different things. And I mean, you have to think about the people behind those costumes on stage. Like even myself, like I'm an uncle, I have a niece and nephew. I've got younger siblings, you know, I'm very family oriented with a lot of things. And so to hear those kind of things is hurtful, even to a person that's not, maybe not being directly said to, because you know, you care about your community that you exist in. I think I would remind people who buy into that sort of rhetoric that these are real people we're talking about. These are not just these. I think so often people like pigeonhole groups of people to like this, like a caricature.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take the time to step back and realize that there are individuals behind each one of those characters. But yeah, I don't know. I think right now like, the whole world is a little crazy with all that.
So I think that that's important. And, you know, that makes me think I've seen on social media time and time again, right? The image that I wish I could know the exact quote at this moment, but you know, it says something along the lines of like, be careful what you say because it may affect someone you love. And
absolutely,
you know, what you're saying, I think, to me, it really resonates of behind every one of those comments, there's an entire community who's just trying to express themselves.
Exactly.
Now, for you as an individual, do those comments make it harder to get up on stage?
Yes and no. I think sometimes I'm mindful of it, and I'm mindful of my surroundings and situations we're entering into. Especially speaking from place of being a Ruby girl, a lot of our audience is straight and we go to a lot of places that are not traditional gay spaces. So there's a lot of conversation amongst our group a lot of times, like, is this a safe space? And especially with the way things are going now, that has increased a lot. And I think I've trailed away from your original question.
That's okay. Well, it sounds like you're having conversations about,
yes.
Behind the scenes, perhaps, about some of these comments.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I'm also hearing is the show must go on, right?
Absolutely.
We got to keep on with it. And, you know, especially when you have such an important cause like the Ruby Girls do,
mm-hmm.
of not just putting on a show, but putting on a show with a mission.
Yes.
I imagine it's really hard to say, well, we're just going to stop, right?
Yes. I mean, we recently did a fundraiser down in Middletown, and we were like, if we're going to get protesters in any one of our events, this is going to be the one. But surprisingly, we had nobody, and the community came out in large numbers to support us. We were raising money for the Sword Opera House so they can help rebuild that. And I think sometimes when you have that intention of helping other people, we're given a little bit of grace. But I don't know.
Right. You're being protected in a way, right? You're
all
doing
right.
All this good.
Right. Fighting the good fight.
Fighting the good fight. That's awesome. And so you somewhat have, or the Ruby Girls kind of have this honor of almost kicking off Pride Weekend in Dayton, mm-hmm. right? And so I guess, again, I can only speak to you and your experience, right, mm-hmm. being here. But what is that like to be the group who kind of is the ignition to that exciting weekend?
From my perspective, it's really cool. I feel like we have the opportunity to say, like, all right, here it goes. And because Dayton Pride's always the first part of the month, we feel very much like, oh, we start Pride Month, you know? Which is so great. But stepping outside of myself, I will say that we still have two of our original members who started 30 years ago. And those two individuals have built this to what it is. And so I think for them, it's a cool experience because, I mean, they've earned it. They've been in the community for so long. They've seen a lot of stuff go down, and they've fought that good fight all the way.
That's cool. So there's kind of some, what would you call it, industry experts or the longstanding institutions that are part of this group. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about Pride. Mm-hmm. We know that Pride in Dayton was a great event, and there's a lot more Prides that are happening throughout the month of June. Mm-hmm. But I guess, and this is a broad question, so I'm sorry, but I guess my question is, why is Pride important?
Oh, goodness. Pride is important because we still have not reached a point where we're truly equal to everybody. And I think that until that happens, we continue to need these kind of spaces to show the world that we exist and show the world that we are real individuals.
That's awesome. And I think as we talk about Pride, right, Pride is important, but looking at the work that the Ruby Girls do and other folks do, Pride is just a piece of this, right? The
Correct.
Actual festivals.
Yes. I think the festivals are a great way to celebrate, but it's definitely important to carry that energy throughout the whole year.
That's awesome. So what are some ways that we can do that?
Well, I mean, you can start your own group and be a Ruby Girl. I think just engaging in your community. There's lots of great organizations in the Dayton area and abroad that you can engage with to see what the needs are. I think, first and foremost, you need to listen to your community to see what they need instead of just picking up a device and saying, this is what I'm going to do for everybody. What if someone else is already doing it, you know?
Sure.
So just staying engaged and being on top of being on the pulse of your community.
That's awesome. And so for somebody who perhaps this is their introduction to Pride, this is their first year making it out or their first year understanding the importance of being an ally to the LGBTQ+ community, where would you recommend that somebody starts?
I guess that depends on the individual. You know, like I started with Dayton Pride years ago when it was much smaller. And that was great for me because I'm not a huge crowds person. Even though I'm an entertainer, unless I'm on stage looking at the crowd, I don't want to be in it.
Sure. Little bit of comfort, right?
Right. So for me, that was great to like kind of ease into the large groups of people. But some people are all about it.
Yeah.
Full force. Tapping into small groups would be good, or just jumping right in. I mean,
that's
kind of a hard question. I think it's a very individual, like personalized, how do you want to approach this?
Can depend on your comfort, I agree. Yeah. I have certainly seen people who where they need to start is having a couple of, for them, perhaps uncomfortable conversations with an individual about experiences. I know people who, their first year is, I'm going to go to Pride, I'm going to wear the Pride flag, on my back, like so many people do at these events, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to jump all in. But certainly for everyone, it's an individual experience. I totally agree. Let's talk about young people, because as we talk about young people, and particularly youth who are kind of entering this space and they're trying to figure out their own identities and who they are, if you could take a moment and speak directly to that person, what would you say?
I would say it's important to have time to self-reflect, to detach from what everyone else is giving you, to detach from what the labels are, from what the this is, or like what I need to name myself or where I fit in, and really go within and figure out what that means for yourself. And then once you've found that piece for you, then wave that for the world to see, and everyone who is in your group or clique per se will find their way to you.
That's awesome. So being our genuine, unique self, though, if we start there,
yes,
we can kind of model that for others and create a space where others can do what it sounds like you're saying drag has done for so many, which is create a space where people can be themselves and express their unique identities.
Yeah, just like really digging deep and figuring out like, who am I?
not easy work, right?
No, I mean, when I came out, I'm 33 years old, and I came out when I was 14, and I put on many hats. I'm like, do I need to be this kind of gay? Do I need to be, like, this kind of person? Or, like, whatever.
Yeah. And
it's like, I felt like I was, like, almost cosplaying for a while, trying to figure out, like, which hat fits the best.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and on this podcast in the past, listeners may remember we've talked about code switching, mm-hmm. And this type of thing in the past, and so, you know, it's a very real experience for someone to have to say, what hat do I need to wear today? What situation do I need to fit into?
Yeah.
Or even am I out in this situation potentially, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess as we think back to Pride, I'm going to keep bringing us back to Pride.
Yeah, fine.
I'm curious if you have any moments or situations that stood out to you, specific moments from this last Pride.
Hmm. Well, on Friday night during our performance, it's just like a little fun story, but, all the lights went out. We don't know why. All the stage lights, all the courthouse square lights. And it, like in the blink of an eye, the whole audience came together and we were performing like almost our last two numbers by just cell phone light.
Oh my gosh.
It was just such a powerful, like really intense moment, which was really, really cool.
There's gotta be some
another,
kind of
like, cool story though. A couple years ago, we had some women approach our group after the show and one was just to the point of tears. And this happens every once in a while, but just such a powerful moment because she expressed how important it was, the work that we were doing as the Ruby Girls, because she had lost several of her very close friends to the AIDS crisis. And for us, it's just like, those are very heavy moments. And when you're doing drag and raising all these thousands of dollars and you're hearing all these numbers, it kind of over the years becomes a little bit of a blur and you're like, I know I'm doing this good work for people and I'm having fun while doing it, but you don't really feel the impact until that person that's hit comes to you face to face. And so it's very like, it's a grounding and a very real moment.
That's interesting. So, you know, you talked about kind of fundraising with an emphasis on the fun. So I think that's interesting. You know, how do you balance the serious nature of what you're working towards while also, you know, celebrating and having these fun celebrations? Are there opportunities throughout your performances that you're able to kind of bring it back to?
Yeah, absolutely. At a Ruby Show, we typically are always trying to keep that dialogue going of like why we're here or what we're raising money for. And then at the Show Must Go On specifically, it's our biggest show of the whole year. We have a video piece that lists off all of our sponsors and all the different things that our money touches. And that is a very heavy video, just watching all of those things that we can help build up in the community.
I'm sure. Well, and I would think for all of you, an amazing reminder to the power of what you're able to accomplish, right?
Yes.
So if I can, and I'm formulating in my mind still exactly how I want to say this.
Okay.
But one of the things that, of course, the unwelcome guests we see every year at Pride,
mm-hmm.
are the people across the street or the people on the street corners with the megaphones who are standing there and preaching hate. And I think for a lot of people, those folks make it hard to be in those spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Or those folks really attract a lot of their attention, right? And so I guess as I'm thinking about those people, and it sounds like those people don't really stop the show from going on, right? But I guess my question is, what do we do with that? Like, as someone's getting to that space, how do we engage with that? How do we not engage with that? Like, how do we hear those hurtful words? We always say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. But clearly that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we take those words and help them bounce back off?
For my own journey, I think it's about recognizing that those words come from a place of incorrectness. There's actually a great documentary that's coming to the Neon Movie Theater, I believe either this week or next week, called 1946, that touches on all that information. But for me, I just try not to give it any energy. I look at that as, I mean, these people who are supposed to be coming from this faith of love and acceptance, if that's the love and acceptance that they're able to broadcast, then what have they received in their own lives? And so in a way, I almost feel sorry for those people. And also, it's usually the same, like, six people dating Brian every year. And if that's, I mean, they have it on their calendar before I do. So.
Understood. Yeah, me and my wife were having this conversation the other day, and you know, I said to her, I was like, I feel sorry for them at the end of the day, right? Like, yeah. We are here and we're celebrating and we're affirming one another, and we know that affirming one another ends in less people dying by suicide and less experiences of mental illness and this stronger community. And kind of the conversation we had was like, what happened to make them so passionate?
So angry. Or what happened in their life to need a scapegoat that they need to put all this on other people?
Interesting.
Yeah.
We could unload that in a long additional podcast episode, probably of scapegoating of the LGBTQ+ community. But alas, don't have that time today. But that is an interesting topic. We'll put that on our note for the future. okay. And so for people who are interested in learning more about the Ruby Girls, where can they check you out?
We actually have a website that just was very graciously redone for us by Mitosis. It's just therubygirls.com, and that's RUBI, because it's based off of RubyCon Street, where they started right here in Dayton.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they started at, they were all students at UD, and they started performing on college campus, and they built it up from there.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so flashback to the history of Ruby Girls coming from a street in Dayton in UD, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, so they can go to your website, and what if someone wants to see you perform? Are there opportunities?
Yeah, so we are always posting our events on our website, and we have social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram. I'm trying to think. Our next show, unfortunately, is out of town. We take a big trip every year up to Saugatuck, Michigan, and do a big show up there for Michigan Cares.
Cool.
And then I think we have something coming up in August, and we usually are at Tender Mercy doing brunch shows for different organizations like every few months in the summer. It's really good. Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. And how many people are in the Ruby Girls?
Currently, there are 10 members.
Okay. And is that pretty standard?
No. Actually, that's a little bit of a larger number. At the most, I think we've had like 12 or 13. But usually, it stays pretty small. Usually, it's around, I think, around like 8.
That's awesome. And so, I'm assuming that you all see each other much more. Too much, huh? Well, I hope that none of the other Ruby Girls listen to this and hear that.
Oh, they'd laugh. It's fine.
So, what is that community like for you? I mean, I assume that performing is only a small portion of being a Ruby Girl, right?
I mean, in a weird way, it's like we're in a sorority, and we're all so connected to our community that it's like you can't go out in Dayton without running into another Ruby Girl. I mean, it's really cool having this little group of people where we all have each other's backs, and we're all there for each other, both in and out of the fundraising component of what we do. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's why it's kind of hard for us to get Ruby Girl members, because we have to like audition and make sure you vibe well with the rest of the group, because we're going to be together a lot.
Yeah. So you're really not just joining a group who's going out and doing drag.
Yeah.
You're joining
a cult.
Well, cult was not the word I was going to use. I was going to say family, but
yes,
your words, not mine. That's awesome. And I guess my last question, do you perform outside of the Ruby Girls?
I used to a lot. I've slowly kind of like tapered that off in my own life. But yeah, every once in a while I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. You know, once you're in the quote unquote cult now,
yeah.
You are allowed to go out on your own.
Oh no, every once in a while. Because you know, every once in a while you want that show where it's like, it's about me right now.
That's awesome. Well, great. So if someone can wants to learn more, again, what is that website?
TheRubyGirls.com. RUBI.
RUBI for Rubicon, is that what you said?
Yes.
All right. Now I'm going to have to go put that in my phone and drive over there.
You're right.
Is there a monument yet? The origin of Ruby
Girls.
There
should be, right? Like some kind of statue or something.
Yeah. Whoever's listening to this from the monument department is going
right.
to have to make that happen.
Or just rename the street after the Ruby Girls. It'll be fine.
Yeah. There you go. Is there anything else that you want to share about Pride this year or speaking to somebody who's maybe starting this journey or who's interested in learning more about drag?
I mean, gosh, now in this day, if you want to learn more about drag, you can just hop on YouTube and figure out literally everything from the ground up. It's
yep.
awesome. Pride in general, don't be afraid. I mean, there's a lot of like hate in the world, and we're seeing a lot of like protesting and a lot of intense things going on. But when you actually get down to it, once you're in Pride and you're in that event, you're in your own like safe space. And I think it's a really cool thing. And I just want to shout out one of my favorite prides. At the end of the month is Yellow Springs Pride. And that's just, I love Yellow Springs. It's just such a great, it's such a great little pride.
As a native Yellow Springer myself, I also love Yellow Springs Pride. Unfortunately, it always somehow ends up on a weekend that somehow I'm not here. So I rarely make it, but the times that I've made it, it's wonderful. And I know the Ruby Girls have long done a performance after Yellow Springs Pride, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At Peaches, right?
Yes.
And does that happen this year?
Not this year, unfortunately. But there is a great show being put on by Scarlet Moon and I'll say the gang, because I'm not sure who all she's booked. But.
All right. So there's still an opportunity to get a great show at Peaches after Yellow Springs Pride, but don't go there expecting the Ruby Girls.
Yes, and they do like a little festival during the day now. It's very fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. Great. I love that. And I also want to say, as we talk about Dayton Pride, one thing that I think is awesome is that Dayton Pride has the angels, right? Is that what we call them? Who
I believe so.
Who just come and cover, physically cover up the protesters. And so to me, that is such a cool, simple act of our job is not to engage with them, right?
Yeah. I think it's a really powerful thing. And then this year, I know in the parade, like right in front of us where we were walking, there was like a whole church group that walked with us. And I think that was a really awesome thing, especially for the protesters to see that there are accepting people out there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have seen a growing number of churches and religious groups. You know, it's always been interesting to me. I'm Jewish and my temple, when I was growing up and in high school, they sent me to Washington, D.C. to lobby for LGBTQ rights. And so, like, you know, it's interesting to me as someone who grew up in a religion that was so affirming that for some, you can use religion to justify mistreating other people. You know, shout out to Hope Collective Church, who was one of our Pride Rock sponsors this year and has done really amazing work to be inclusive. But I love that kind of juxtaposition of you're, you know, utilizing this text to justify hate and we're utilizing that text to justify love.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in the realm of like spirituality, there's always the chance that you might be wrong. And so like, who wants to pass away and be like, oops.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think taking care of others, taking care of our community is so important. And, just what we know about community, the power of community, the value of feeling welcome, like, having these spaces is important. And I would be curious, I always say, and I would be curious if you agree, in my opinion, it is a incredibly loud, but incredibly small minority that stands against these events.
Absolutely. And I mean, the only reason they're loud is because they have megaphones.
Right.
I mean, there were maybe like five people this year, but they were surrounded by what looked like 12 different angels of the people covering them. So that was just, it was a very neat thing.
That's awesome. There will always be overwhelming support. And I am excited for the prospect that one day there will be a Dayton Pride where everybody is on the same side of the street. Everyone is saying the same thing and the same message. Mm-hmm. And I think with this young generation, I am optimistic that that could be a thing one day.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming out and speaking. Definitely, I encourage everyone to check out the Ruby Girls now that we've heard your website twice, and we'll definitely put it in the description to this podcast as well so folks can check them out and hopefully get an opportunity to see you all perform. I guess if someone happens to be in Michigan, right?
Right.
Or next time you're home here in Dayton performing as well. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.